If you're a fan of NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, you are familiar with our next guest. Comedian and actor Maz Jobrani is a panelist on the show. He was last with us on Central Time when Wait, Wait did a show in Wisconsin last summer. Since then, he's released a new book, I'm Not a Terrorist, But I've Played One on TV, Memoirs of a Middle Eastern Funny Man. In the book, he talks about his comedy, his Persian-American identity, and being shot by Chuck Norris. Maz, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Well, let's start with that part of your origin story as a performer. How did you find yourself in a turban being shot on screen by Chuck Norris?
You know, not all of us are that lucky. You know, some of us are privileged. It was early in my career, and I still had a day job working as an assistant in an advertising agency. So I got this part as an Afghan terrorist who was going to Chicago to blow up a building. This was before September 11th. And being of Middle Eastern descent, I struggled with taking the part at first. I said, you know, should I do this? Should I not do this? And then I thought, you know, maybe I can do the part and show through my acting ability why this guy is doing what he's doing. I thought I could be a great thespian and prove that there's a reason why this guy's doing what he's doing. And so I went down to film, and when I went to the wardrobe fitting, they said, here's your shirt, here's your pants, here's your turban. And I said, oh, guys, actually Afghans in America don't wear turbans. Indian Sikhs wear turbans. Let's get this right. And they basically said, dude, this is a Chuck Norris movie. We don't know what you're talking about. And I said, no, let's just get this right. I told the wardrobe girl, I said, please tell the producers I'm not going to wear the turban. So she went and spoke with them. And the next day I went to my wardrobe, to my dressing room, and there was my shirt and my pants and what looked like a scarf. And I said, okay. I go, see, I told you if you talk to them, they'll see it my way. I will gladly be the scarf-wearing terrorist. And she said, no, that's not the scarf. That's the turban. You just got to wrap it back up. So I felt like an idiot wearing a turban in a Chuck Norris movie and getting killed by him.
And he didn't even beat you up. He just shot you in the movie. That's the big bummer.
He shot me. Yeah, it was a bummer. I honestly thought we'd have a fight scene. I think one of the earlier drafts had us maybe doing some fighting. And I was really bummed out that when the day came to do it, he told his son, who was the director, he said, you know, I think maybe I should just shoot the guy. And I thought, oh, come on. And basically, I come running into this room that he's in, and I have to scream the obligatory Allahu Akbar or something like that, and then he just shoots me, and I'm gone.
So on screen, you often, get maybe these roles as terrorists. Do you see typecasting in your daily life over the years?
You know, in all honesty, what happened was early on, those were the parts that were out there, and I did a couple of them. I did the Chuck Norris movie, I did the TV show 24, and then after that I said, no more terrorist parts. So I was able to stop doing those. And I say this a lot, I don't mind playing a taxi, you know, a cab driver, I don't mind playing a falafel store owner. Some of these other parts, I don't mind. It's the terrorist thing that really bothers me. And so I have said no to those. And in my day-to-day, I don't really encounter that much racism myself, because I think that not having an accent and people look at me, I think sometimes they think he could be Latino, he could be, we don't know, something. He could be Middle Eastern. So I don't get it as much myself. But I've had friends and relatives get stuff. For example, after September 11th, my mother, who does have a thick Persian accent, she was at a Costco in Los Angeles, and she was shopping, and there was a cart in her way that nobody was claiming, so my mother moved the cart to get to the product she was trying to get, and then this lady came back and said, who moved my cart? And my mother, with her thick Persian accent, said, you know, I had to move it to get to my product. And the lady turned to my mom and said, why don't you just go back to your country? And this was right after 9/11. And so my mom was faced with this racism right there, she told the lady, she said, this is my country. And then as the lady was leaving, the lady turned to my mom and called her the B word. And my mother came back with the best 5-year-old comeback. She said, she who says it is it. And I thought that was a good comeback for my mom.
Now, you tackle these issues in your comedy. Is it ever a tough balancing act? So, you know, you want to be funny, you're a comedian, and you want to solve all the world's problems too. Does one step on the other sometimes?
I try to make sure that whatever I talk about, if it's a serious topic, I try to make sure that there's jokes at the end, so that people leave laughing, as opposed to just preaching. For example, there's a joke I've been doing about the Boston bombings, and I never make fun of the victims. I always make sure to make fun of either the perpetrators of the crime or those in power. For example, in the Boston bombing situation, I make fun of the media coverage and how immediately everybody pointed at possible Middle Easterners or Arabs being behind it. And I don't know if you remember, but the New York Post took a picture of two Moroccans who happened to be at the finish line wearing backpacks, and they put it on the cover. And they said, basically, these are the guys. The headline read, "Bag Men," and it turned out those poor guys weren't the guys. And so I make fun of the New York Post in that situation, but I make sure to have the joke in there when I'm talking about a serious issue. And I also open that issue by saying the Boston bombings were a tragic event, and my first thought was that my heart went out to the victims. But then my second thought as a Middle Easterner was just, please don't be Middle Eastern, please don't be Middle Eastern. And of course, the news came out, they said they're Chechenian, and I was like, yes. And then they go, but they're Muslim. I was like, oh, come on. So, it's just a way of handling a serious topic and making sure that you have a joke at the end.
Talking to Maz Jobrani, comedian, actor, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me panelist. His new book is I'm Not a Terrorist, But I've Played One on TV. Now, Maz, how did your family react to your decision to be a comedian and an actor?
I think that they were not too into it. When you have immigrant parents, a lot of these parents, whatever country you're from, a lot of parents come from a struggle, whether it's a civil war or a revolution or what have you, and they come to America and they set up shop, and their whole hope is that their kids become lawyers or doctors or engineers, something that's reputable. So when I first told my parents I wanted to be an actor or a comedian, my mother didn't even know what I was talking about. I remember she was trying to convince me to just be a lawyer. She would say, listen, just be a lawyer and maybe you can just tell some jokes in court. And I was like, I don't know about that, Mom. And she said, no, just you'll be funny on the weekends. And it was this constant battle. And it was interesting because I went from trying to be a lawyer. I did undergrad at UC Berkeley in political science. And then I decided, you know, I don't want to be a lawyer. Maybe I'll be a professor. Maybe that's a good compromise. That'll be reputable, but it'll also be me in front of people talking, and it'll be a little more dynamic. And when I told my mom that I wanted to be a professor, she thought I was losing my mind. But then when I actually got into a PhD program at UCLA and ended up dropping out of that. And when I told her I wanted to drop out of that, she said, listen, you don't want to be a lawyer. You're not going to be a professor. At least be a mechanic. And I go, how'd you go from lawyer to mechanic? She goes, listen to me. She goes, people need mechanics. Nobody needs an actor. And those were very wise words, actually.
Well, but you've been somewhat successful. Your mom impressed, or is it there's still some reservation here?
No, I think she's come around. It's always funny to me with my mom because you have certain levels of success and she's with you, but then I talk about it in the book that I portray her in a certain way, but she doesn't always say the things that I've written in the book. I write that in the book it was more what I hear when she says things. So, for example, growing up, she would say, I was at my friend's house, and her son, his room was so clean, and he gets really good grades. Why can't you be more like Michael or whoever? I would hear, in my mind, I would hear her saying, I wish I never would have had you. I would have just left you back in Iran. Like, that's how I would interpret it. So to this day, even though my mother supports my success, there's times when she'll come over to my house. And years ago, I was on a TV show that Sofia Vergara was on as well. And now Sofia Vergara's career has taken off to, you know, from Modern Family and all other stuff. So she'll come over, and even though she's supportive, she'll say things like, you know, maybe you should think about changing your agents. And I go, what are you talking about? She goes, Sofia is doing very well. And I go, well, I'm doing pretty well. She goes, yeah, but you're not doing as well as Sofia. So the way I hear her is she's saying, you're still not quite where I need you to be. You know, and the other one she always tells me, she'll say things like her and my aunts, they say, you know, the day you win the Oscar, we will be very happy. Like they want me to win an Oscar. Like if I don't get an Oscar, they're not happy.
Now, you've done stand-up in the U.S. and around the world, and I wanted to briefly, as we wrap up here, what's the difference between doing, you know, a dive comedy club in the U.S. and, say, performing in front of the King of Jordan?
Well, I would say that the pressure is a little higher. When we did the shows in front of the King of Jordan in Jordan, it was an interesting situation because he was in the audience, and this was during the war with Iraq and the Bush administration, and there were some jokes I would do about Bush and Ahmadinejad at the time. And when I would get to those jokes, I would look at him to kind of say, listen, dude, you can do something about this. And so that was a very interesting dynamic, to have a king in the audience that could possibly take some of your jokes as suggestions and implement them. Whereas if you're doing a show at a dive bar in America, you're just hoping they understand what you're saying and they're not too drunk to heckle you.
Maz, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's comedian Maz Jobrani. His new book is called I'm Not a Terrorist, But I've Played One on TV.